Hey guys, it's 7 o'clock on Wednesday night again. Here to hang out with you, here to talk to you guys tonight, hopefully give you a word. I feel like God was kind of speaking to me. It felt like it took a while this week. This was Sunday afternoon, Monday morning, and I'm still like, and God, I need you to help me out here. We're going to have to talk about something on Wednesday. And Monday morning was thinking about this for you guys. We're talking tonight about working on a building. And so we'll jump into that here in just a few minutes. I hope you're somewhere cool and comfortable. It's hot outside today. Hope you found some AC somewhere. Let's get ready and pray, and then we'll jump right into this. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for all that you've given us, your blessings, and God, just your love, and all of those things that you just rain down onto us that we don't deserve, but you give us because we're yours, and you're our Father, and that's what you want for us, are the good things. And I pray that you just help us tonight to see those. And God, help us to have the mindfulness to see that when things aren't correct, sometimes it's just because you're trying to help us grow and to correct ourselves into a different direction. And maybe that's you leading us into that. I pray that you be with our church family tonight, God, those that are hurting and those that are sick or just downtrodden. God, I pray that you would go to them, God, and meet them where they are right now. I pray that they would just feel you and know you, and you just be that tangible father and lover and just friend that they are longing for, God, right now. And if it's a healer, God, I pray that you be that too. That's the most awesome thing about you, is that you are the I Am, and those ellipses after that are able to, for us to be able to change that or allow you to be whatever we need you to be in our lives, deliverer, healer, peace, lover, hope, God, all of those things that describe you. We just thank you for all of those names that you have to us. Pray that you'd be with us tonight. I pray that you would just keep me out of the way. Help me to be able to speak a word to your people. Help me to be able to just challenge us and encourage us to be more like you and to start working on the building. Thank you for this opportunity. It's your name I pray. Amen. So like I said, tonight we're going to talk about working on a building. And my whole life growing up, my dad would walk around singing this song talking about I'm working on a building. And I had no idea where it came from. For a while I thought he made it up. But it was an old bluegrass gospel song, and the first person I think I ever heard sing it was the Stanley Brothers. And they were talking about how they were working on a building, and the building was for God, and it was Holy Ghost building, and the lyrics go that way. But I was thinking about this week, and just God brought to mind Nehemiah to me. And we know the story of Nehemiah. He helped rebuild the walls for Jerusalem, but I thought about it kind of in a different light, and maybe more so than I ever have before. And tonight I want to just kind of jump into that and talk about that with you guys. And so the story of Nehemiah goes, roughly paraphrased, we'll jump into specific scriptures in a minute, but Nehemiah is working as the king's cupbearer away from Jerusalem, and he gets word that it's just ruined. Utter ruins. The walls are down. There's no protection. It's just a mess. There's chaos going on. The city's unprotected and all those things. And it moves him deeply. Nehemiah is just really messed up by this. And prays to God, tells him, hey, I know we've done wrong here, blah, blah, blah. Talks about that. But he wants God to help him to fix the wall. And I look at our nation right now, and I thought about earlier this week how if I were to take a snapshot of what's going on today and show myself the same snapshot 15, maybe 20 years ago, I wouldn't believe that we're dealing with the issues that we're dealing with today. From coronavirus to the civil unrest to just the moral decay that we see in our nation right now, I feel like we're in the same position that Nehemiah was in. And we're in the same position where the foundational truths of our nation are falling and decaying, and the walls that we built to help our nation stand and to protect our nation from the things around us are just have fallen brick by brick for so long that it's taken us, they've fallen and we haven't noticed it. And tonight I want to talk about how we as Christians can be more like Nehemiah, and we as Christians can take on that responsibility and see the cause, but also do something. Nehemiah didn't just hear it and pray about it. Dude got up and did something to fix it. And tonight as we talk about this, I hope you're challenged to do the same thing. So the first thing I want to talk about with Nehemiah, when he heard the news, he was really moved by it. It really messed him up. And the first thing he did was stop and pray. And I think that that's important because so many times in our lives we see the things going on around us and we see there's an issue and we see that and we're just like, we'll say some simple Lord help them or God help our country or God do something here, and it's just kind of a meaningless, worthless prayer. And I want to read Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 5 through 11 and just listen to how he prays about this and see if you can see, look into the context of what he said. So verse 5 starts and it says, I said, Yahweh, the God of heaven, the great awe-inspiring God who keeps his gracious covenant with those who love him and keep his commands. Let your eyes be open and your ears be attentive to hear your servant's prayer that I now pray to you, day and night for your servants, the Israelites. I confess the sins we have committed against you. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted corruptly towards you and have not kept the commands, statutes, and ordinances you gave your servant Moses. Please remember what you commanded your servant Moses. If you were unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and carefully observe my commands, even though your exiles were banished to the ends of the earth, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place where I chose them to have my name dwell. They are your servants and your people. You redeemed them by your great power and strong hand. Please, Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to that of your servants who delight to revere your name. Give your servant success today and have compassion on him in the presence of this man. And at the end of it, it says, at the time I was the king's cupbearer. So when we look at how Nehemiah prayed, he wasn't just like, hey God, there's a lot going on. It'd be cool if you fixed it. He comes to him in kind of the same format that Jesus spoke to the disciples about praying in the Lord's Prayer. And he talks about, he gives him the accolades and praises God for who he is first and helps himself to remember who God is, the great, awe-inspiring, let's read it word for word again, the God of heaven, the great, awe-inspiring God who keeps his gracious covenants with those who love him and keep his commands. He's talking to him and he gives him that title. And then he goes into talking about how, hey God, remember the covenant that you had with us. It was a two-party agreement, this covenant. I believe you can honor your end, but we haven't honored ours. We have sinned against you as a nation. We have sinned against you. I have, my father's house has, and a couple generations here have not followed the statutes and ordinances that you commanded us to do. But he reminds him in the same sentence or the sentence after that, that God promised that when they honored him and followed those things, that he would bring them together and restore that peace and bring that back to him. And I think when we pray for the situations around us right now, I feel like we kind of have the same obligation Nehemiah did to acknowledge that, yeah, America is, it's a wonderful place. I don't want to be a citizen of any other country in the world, but it's becoming different every single day. America is on a slippery slope, morally, politically, civil, all the stuff that we're dealing with, we see that every day there's a step, it feels like a step in the wrong direction. And it feels like there's more tolerance and less black and white, that there's more gray and less clear picture of what exactly God wanted this nation to be. And I think we have to kind of accept that. And when we pray to God to say, man, we failed you as a nation, not just as a whole, but individually, I have failed you too for not doing what you asked me to do. So number one thing Nehemiah did when he heard about his nation in ruins, he stopped and he prayed. But the prayer that he prayed was a prayer to acknowledge his sin and his father's sin, to remind God and himself of the covenant that they had together, and to petition him, God, to listen and turn his eyes and his ears toward this nation to help to restore them back to the way they were because of that covenant that he had before. So the next thing that Nehemiah did was he left his place of comfort to go do something extremely difficult. And when we look at what Nehemiah was, he was the cupbearer to the king. And the cupbearer's job was a little, it could be dangerous in times of unrest or stuff like that. But basically his job was take a drink of the cup before you give it to the king, make sure there's nothing bad in it. If Nehemiah died, the king wouldn't drink it. He'd have to get a new cupbearer, but he didn't have to drink the water or wine or whatever it was that was coming before him. So Nehemiah's got a pretty good job for that kind of day. He's not out in the fields working. He's not doing these like real bad manual labor jobs. Dude goes to the palace every single day to work. And he may live there in some servants' quarters. I'm not sure exactly how that went. But at any rate, his job and the place he went to every day was comfortable. And as I told you guys earlier, I hope he found some air conditioning today because it was hot outside. And as America, I think one of our biggest faults and flaws is that we demand to be comfortable. No matter where we are or what we're doing, we have adopted this mentality that if we're uncomfortable, something's wrong. And in all reality, when we're uncomfortable, that tends to be the catalyst to change or the catalyst to success and hard work. And I know that in my life, the times that I'm uncomfortable, be it physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, I will try to find a way to remedy that and to fix it so I'm not uncomfortable anymore. When it's hot outside, I turn the air down. When it's cold outside, I turn the heat on. We're just like that as Christians, and we get, American Christians especially, and we get stuck in that mentality. But because of that, we have become less and less and less aggressive in the way that we defend the Word of God, and we defend the foundational truths that America was based on. And the guys that helped to construct the Constitution and build this country were biblical Christian men. And they built this country on Christian principles because those are things that are going to stand the test of time. Those are the things that are going to defeat tyranny. Those are the things that are going to defeat moral decay. Those are the things that are going to defeat civil unrest. And people talking about too much diversity or lack thereof and all of those things. But the way that our country was founded on these biblical principles allows us to be able to work through those issues. And when we lose those, we can't deal with these issues as well. And I think it's because a lot of it is because we get stuck in this comfort-based mindset. We get stuck in this, well, if I would do it, but it's going to be hard, and I probably couldn't do it anyway. There's no sense in even trying. Well, that doesn't work. God doesn't honor that kind of mindset. You can't expect any gains spiritually or anyway with that. We can't begin to go on the offensive with the things that are happening in our country, if we can't get out of our comfort zone and be able to do something. You're like, yeah, Logan, I get that. What does that mean on the daily in Brandenburg, Kentucky? Well, I think that means being able to stand in the midst of untruth and being able to stand on the Word of God in the middle of distraction and in the middle of things that are going on around us, or to be the person who says, I don't think I'm going to be a part of this conversation, and walk away from things that aren't clean, or to step away from situations that are just not good for us to be in, to be the light, to walk around, if you got to do it, walk around with your finger up and saying, "This little light of mine," to remind yourself what to do about that. And in that song, it says, you know, it talks about hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. And I think that's what's going to be one of the things that helps us to take America back for God, is to not just sit, not to shroud the light that's within us, and to be able to let it open up and to be able to let that light shine around us and to be different and to be better and more Christ-like. But that takes effort. We can't be comfortable and do that. I have a really hard time approaching random people and asking them how their relationship with Jesus is. I don't do a very good job with that. If I'm in a situation like church or a spiritual Christian gathering where someone comes to the altar and they want to be saved, man, I can do that all day, every day in that situation. But I get so scared to approach people and to just ask them, hey, you know Jesus? How's you and Jesus? What's going on with you? How are you? I don't do that well. I can talk to people, I can do those things, but that makes me uncomfortable. And I feel like there have been times in my life where, because of that feeling and because of that desire to stay comfortable, maybe there have been souls that I could have reached that I didn't, because I let that overtake me, and I didn't do that when God asked me to. That's what it takes, is some effort, some big time effort to go forth and do that. So, number one, what did Nehemiah do? He prayed, but he prayed the correct prayer, owning what was wrong and asking God to honor the other side when he fixed what was wrong. And number two, he left his comfortable spot. He left that job of the cupbearer and went to Jerusalem to begin the work. We've got to get out of our comfort zones. The last thing, what did Nehemiah do? Man, he didn't let the words of the men around him outweigh the call of God. And I think that is huge right now. As Christians, American Christians, we feel like, man, I don't know if I can say this or say that. It might be offensive. It might hurt someone's feelings. It might run people off or turn them away from Christianity if I'm this way or if I'm that way. If as long as you're speaking the truth and the Word of God, it's going to be offensive. It's going to hurt. The truth really does hurt. And until we're confronted with the truth, and until we confront those around us and operate in a life that's true, that truth is what allows us to change. And that truth is where we gain our strength, is because it's the direct Word of God. And we're going to look here in Nehemiah chapter 4. Got a couple of different verses. We're going to do 1 through 3, 7 and 8, and then 9 through 14. Just kind of bear with me here a little bit. So chapter 4, 1 through 3. It says, "When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became furious. He mocked the Jews before his colleagues and the powerful men of Samaria and said, 'What are these pathetic Jews doing? Can they restore it by themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they ever finish it? Can they bring these burnt stones back to life from the mounds of rubble?' Then Tobiah the Ammonite, who was beside him, said, 'Indeed, even if a fox climbed up what they are building, he would break down their stone wall.' So I was 1 through 3. Read 7 and 8. So this is Sam Ballett coming back at him again, talking smack. He said, or it says, when Sam Ballett, Tobiah, and the Arabs, Ammonites, Ashdodites, heard that the repair to the walls of Jerusalem was progressing and that the gaps were being closed, they became furious. They all plotted against him. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to throw it into a confusion. So the next one, this is Nehemiah's response in 9 through 14. So it, verse 8 says, they plotted against him to throw it into confusion. 9 says, so we prayed to our God and stationed a guard because of them day and night. In Judah it was said, the strength of the laborer fails since there was so much rubble. We will never be able to rebuild the wall. And our enemies said, they won't know or see anything until we're among them and can kill them and stop the work. When the Jews who lived nearby arrived, they said to us time and again, everywhere you turn, they attack. They attack us. Sorry. So I stationed people behind the lowest sections of the wall at the vulnerable areas. I stationed them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I made an inspection, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the great, awe-inspiring Lord, and fight for your countrymen, your sons, daughters, your wives, and your homes. So, Nehemiah had these guys, Sam Ballett and his homies, came against him like crazy, talking about how, man, there's no way this guy can rebuild these walls, they're a mess. All this smack that he's trying to talk, there's no way they can do this. They're not even masons. They're not even anything. They can't do this. Well, they started, and they started making progress. And Nehemiah didn't let what those around him was, what he was hearing from them, deter him from the work that he knew God was wanting him to do, and a cause that he knew needed to be taken care of. So he starts making progress, and he starts to really rebuild the walls. And they're closing the gaps, they're fixing the gates. You can go through and kind of read that specifically there where they fixed it. So Sam Ballett talks to his buddies again. He's like, man, they're making progress on this. We can't let this happen. Let's get some buddies together. We'll go and we'll intimidate them. We're going to kill them. We're going to knock them out. We're going to show up with our bows and arrows. We're going to shoot them off the wall. We got this. We can't let them have it. So they really upped their ante there. And Nehemiah is dealing with the people, and they're scared. They're nervous. So Judah says, man, there's too much work here. There's too much going on. There's no way we're going to be able to do this. The people are coming against him. They're talking smack. They're hearing that from the people on the outside of the wall while they're trying to build the wall. But he says, hey, remember what this is about. Remember where you are. Remember what this city means not only to you, but to your sons, your daughters, your wives, your mom, your dad, your aunt, your uncle, your neighbor that you grew up beside. Remember what this ground means to them. And when we do that and we know that we can gain strength from God in this cause, we can save our homes from the attack of Satan. And I don't know another time, I mean my life, I'm 31. I haven't seen another time that seems like it's more pivotal than right now for Christians. And I feel like we're at that point where we're kind of sitting right there on the fulcrum with this lever. Is it going to go this way toward the world, or are we going to get enough and we're going to go back this way for God? And I feel like we're listening to the threats. We're listening to the jeers and just the mockery of those around us talking about the Christians are this and they're just offensive and they're legalistic and all of these things. And we're listening to all the stuff from the world around us. And when we look at it with that lens, there's no hope. You can't see that. You can't see how big God is when we're stuck on how loud the voices around us are. But it didn't matter to Nehemiah, and it shouldn't matter to us. It's time for the American Christians to say, you know what? I don't care. It doesn't matter what you say. I believe this is what the Word of God says. I believe this is what God has called us to do as Christians, and we're going to do it. And even if we've got to sit on top of this wall with our swords and our bows and our trowels the whole time, keeping watch, laying brick with one hand and keeping protection over us with our bow in the other, or our sword in the other, it's okay. We can do it because God is going to give us strength. And tonight I pray that we can see that. And I pray that we don't just see it as an opportunity for cool speeches and an opportunity to say, oh yeah, that's right, Logan. Maybe I do see that America is in trouble and I do see that our nation's declining. I'm going to pray about that. So did Nehemiah, but he didn't stop there. And tonight I encourage you to do the same thing. Don't stop at just praying for our country. Don't even stop at getting out of your comfort zone. Go all the way. Go past what people are saying. Go past the uncomfortable. Go into the hard work and being a lookout for your family. Protect our homes. Maybe not violently, maybe not with an AK strapped to your chest, but do it with the power of the Word of God. And talking about how offensive and how, not offensive, but offensive, and how offensive we can be with the Word of God in the right way. How that we can start to gain ground back as we remember that God said these things. The Word of God is true. We know that. And when we can stand on His words, we can gain so much strength and we can stand and defeat Satan. Because he's already been defeated. And God says the battle is His. And that He will fight our battles for us. And when we believe that, He can gain ground. And He can help us gain ground. But if we don't, we're just going to get stuck. We're just going to be stuck where we are right now, watching our country burn physically and figuratively. And I pray that tonight we are just encouraged to do something. And encouraged to go beyond just the normal things. Don't just put it on your prayer list and say it every day. Don't just get out of your comfort zone. Go beyond that. Go beyond that. Take a stand for Christ every chance that you can get, in love, but in power and in truth as well. So tonight, as we get ready to close, I want you to think about who are you in this story tonight? Are you Nehemiah? You feel like, man, I'm a warrior for this. I know this cause. I'm here. I'm good to go. That's awesome. I hope I am some days of the week. I know that I'm not every single day. Are you going to be the guys who are coming against Nehemiah saying, man, it ain't worth it. There's no way you can do that. Are you that guy right now that just says, there's no hope, there's no way we can do this? Or are you like the citizens of Jerusalem? You're like, man, Nehemiah, this is scary. There's no way this is going to work right. There's too much work here to be done. Let's not do this. Whoever you are, I pray that you're challenged to be Nehemiah. That you're challenged to be the one who sees the cause, who accepts it as a call, and takes the responsibility and takes action to change it. Pray with me as we get ready to close tonight. God, we thank you for this evening. We thank you, God, for the United States of America. We thank you for the freedom that we have here to serve you, to pray to you, to praise you, and all of those things. But God, tonight, I pray that you would be with us as a church, as a whole in our nation, to not just sit by and watch the country fall and to watch the things that we were founded on be destroyed and fall brick by brick and to be just to see it collapse. I pray that you would help us to be like Nehemiah, to see that there's a cause, to see and to be moved and to be hurt by what we see around us and challenged to go and do something about it. To be challenged, God, to not listen to the critics and to not listen to all the people who are telling us you can't do it, or the people who are saying it's going to be too hard, or look at what they're doing, what a feeble attempt to change society. But God, I'm reminded that if you're before us and if you're on our team, there's nothing that can be against us that's going to work. You're bigger than anything. And I'm reminded also that, like, just like I said, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. You're bigger than that. Me plus you is greater than anything. And when we attach ourselves to you in such a way that we allow you to help us fight our battles, we're victorious. And God, I pray that you help us to see that, that we're not scared, that we're not discouraged, God, that we're encouraged about what an opportunity it is for the American Christian to take a stand and to begin to win our country back, to be once again one nation under God, indivisible. God, that we're not going to be divided. We're not going to be separated and just trashed and strewn about like ruins that the walls were in Jerusalem. I pray, God, that you help us to be a nation that is under you and that looks to you for help and direction. God, I thank you for this opportunity tonight. I thank you for allowing me to speak to your people. I pray that you help us this week to see you in that light and to see opportunities where we can be more like Nehemiah and less like the other characters in that story. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. So, quick note, next week we won't be doing the Facebook Live service because we're going to be able to have our first in-person business meeting since March, I believe. So we'll be out next week. The week after that, we should be able to jump right back in, 7 p.m. We'll be hanging out together. I hope you guys have a great week. Enjoy the rest of your week, and can't wait to hang out with you again. Thanks.